y'all. Welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. I am Jason.
What's up, what's up? You are hanging with Gabe. Gabe and Jason. It's the grab bag special, man.
You are extremely loud right now in the mic.
I'm making up for last time, Jason.
Up
for last time.
I'm sorry. I'll pull away from my mic like this. So I'll be softer this time. So we can balance you. Maybe by the third time. Third time's a charm. Third time's a charm.
Sure.
So, man, chapter two. Let's dive right into
chapter
this.
Chapter two, out of the silent planet, man.
Yeah. So basically,
just a reset.
Yes.
It's called a reset.
So just a quick reset. We have our protagonist, Ransom, who he's on a walking tour, which in going into chapter two a little bit, he continues to talk about this. But
on a walkabout. Yeah.
What is this walking tour
he's crazy.
Thing?
This is clearly something that we don't participate in, at least in this part of the world that I've ever heard of. No, he's on vacation and he's a single guy, bachelor, living it up. And I guess you hear about people wanting to go like backpack through the European countryside and stuff like that, you know? I guess that would probably be the closest thing, except he's in England and he's walking from village to village, town to town, seeing what the culture is in each place and taking it in and interacting with the people and staying at a hostel that night or whatever night he's at and, using up his vacation, just, I guess, having some time to himself and diving into the world around him.
He's on his way. He runs into this lady who's still waiting for her son to come home. He goes and finds him, but also finds an old school pal and another person in a precarious position. And that's where we kind of basically his friend Divine was inviting them into the house of sketchiness that I was like, oh, I don't know about this dude, but he decides he's too tired.
You walk in on these two dudes molesting this boy, you know, and I'm talking about like, I guess assault. I have to be careful with my words here, right?
You're fine.
They were grabbing this guy and doing who knows what, and he says, "Hey, stop!"
Force him to do something against his will, basically.
Somehow they shift the narrative to, "Oh, come on inside," and he's like, "Yeah, okay." What about this is normal?
Yeah. So then he comes in, and this house. This is where we start out with chapter two. This house is the best way I can describe it is there's like one or two really nice things, and then the rest of it is a crap hole. It is you could tell basically you're like, yeah, this has been it's a starter upper. It needs some TLC, right, Gabe?
It is clearly not lived in very much, at least not by family. It has not had the touch of a woman, Jason. It is barely lived in. It's a place of just, I guess, a stopping for these two guys, Divine and Weston. And
are you saying it needs? It's a fixer upper.
Yeah, it's you know what it is. It's a bachelor pad. I mean, like when I was in college, the apartment I lived in with one of my fraternity brothers was not clean or well taken care of. It was horrible.
Shut up.
And that was just
no.
That was just a few square feet, my friend. Oh my gosh, I got to tell you, like the kitchen, it was disgusting. The guy, my friend, fraternity brother, great guy, whatever, yeah, whatever disclaimer else I need to say, right? Would leave like bowls of like he'd eaten cereal and there was like milk still in the bowl or a little bit just in the sink, you know.
He wouldn't drink
bathroom,
the
totally
milk.
Well, he would, but you know, there's like a little bit at the end. He wouldn't just drink that last little bit, or he wouldn't rinse it out afterwards. So there's that little bit of residue, you know. It was just, oh man, gross. It just gross. So, but even worse than that was our restroom. So one day I was like, I can't take this anymore. I've got to clean the kitchen. So I started cleaning the kitchen, and without saying a word, I guess he felt guilty because he saw me cleaning. And he just tackled the restroom all by himself while I tackled the kitchen. And I saw that and I went, oh my gosh, this is pretty sweet. I've stumbled onto something here. And from then on, if ever I needed the bathroom cleaned, I just started cleaning the kitchen. It was awesome. So, yeah. So, and that's just a few hundred square feet. I mean, like, it's like nothing. And you've got this house where these two guys who are clearly like busy doing other things, they don't care about the state of their house. It's a dump, you know?
It's just a place to eat, sleep.
If you were a kid, you'd say it was haunted, you know, because it's dark and dreary, you know?
Now, as he's walking in, the only, as they're saying, the only two nice things is these two armchairs. And Divine's like, hey, take a seat, Ransom, have, you know, just let's sit down and I'll open up a bottle of whiskey. And this is where he starts talking about his, this is where Ransom starts talking about his walkabout and just Divine's just all curious, just acting. He's, again, I think, as I was reading it, and as spoiler alert for this chapter, which I'm sure you've all read, I was just like, I still don't believe, like, I think he's just trying to keep him at ease and be like, oh, that's really interesting, Ransom, tell me more.
Yeah. So just to add a detail here, you said that he's talking about his walkabout, and then that Divine is like, you know, asking more information about it. I want to back up. No. Divine is saying, so how are you here? What's going on? So it's him that's prying and prompting. And then when he says, oh, I am on a walking tour, and Divine's like, well, wait, what's that? And then starts digging deeper. And
right.
The whole time I was reading this, I was thinking, like, so you're thinking he's just trying to keep him interested, or what, faux sincerity?
Because I was just like, okay, like we were saying, like, he's walking in with Divine, and I'm like, where's Weston? Like, he's nowhere to be seen. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I would be very cautious, like, Divine's trying to keep him preoccupied while Weston's doing something else.
So the whole time that Divine's asking him questions, when I read this, I'm paying attention to the questions that Divine is actually asking him, and he's figuring out his family situation. Mm-hmm. He's figuring out that nobody knows where he is, that he's not in touch with anybody, that he could fall off the face of the earth and nobody would even know. So the whole time I'm like, oh my gosh, he is priming him, sizing him up as someone that, like, we could grab this guy and no one would know, you know? I didn't think about what Weston was doing. I just saw what Divine was doing, because these were very targeted questions to get specific pieces of information.
Right.
To assess fully Ransom said, he's like, oh, you don't have family? He's like, oh, just a sister in
India,
some other part of the country. Yeah. Yeah. That's it, you know? But don't you have to check into the office? Nah, they don't expect me anywhere. You know, like, oh my gosh, I'm like, shut up, man, shut up, you know?
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, where it's just Ransom is rake on the floor, like, yeah, let me walk on that and see what happens. And this is also where we find out Ransom's first name, finally, in chapter 2, Dr. Elwin, is that how you pronounce it? Elwin, that's how I pronounced it, E-L-W-I-N.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Elwin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
That's...
Dr. Elwin, there's other couple of things we've learned about him. Is it sounds like he was in the army at one point. He obviously is a teacher, a professor, and on sabbatical or something else. But like you said, and like you were talking about, Gabe, nobody cares about him. He's not married. He's not attached to anything. No one's going to – basically, he's like, you know, you can kill me right now and – no one would be looking for me, basically. You're like, what are you doing, Ransom? Don't say that. So then the big thing happens. Divine goes, he's like, oh, this is all out of my whiskey. Let me go over into this other room. I'll be right back. So he leaves the room, comes back, brings in this liquid, and Ransom's like, yeah, fill it up. And so he fills it up and he takes a drink and they cheers.
Supposed to be water.
Right. And he cheers, takes a drink. And then all of a sudden, it reminded me of Get Out, the recent movie Get Out, where all of a sudden he's feeling his body just get very heavy and as if he's drifting off into darkness and things are getting fuzzy but also distant, where there's this like pan out. And then all of a sudden just is fighting between, is this reality? I'm lucid, but I'm also unconscious. It was a trippy feeling for him.
Yeah, no. And then even still, like, he can kind of, like, I don't know, he has some sense that something is going on. But it sounds like things are, like, he feels like he's a mile away is what it says. And yeah, and then eventually things fade from his sight, and then he starts to kind of come to a little bit. And even that, like he can't fully feel everything. Like, he's still, I guess, a little bit numbed or paralyzed from whatever it is he's been given. And he starts to hear Ransom and Divine in this argument, or,
well, even before, you know, that. Okay, so right before that, Ransom talks about this dream that he fell into, and that basically,
oh, yeah,
they're in this outdoor garden, as he puts it, and that there's light within this garden, but there's darkness everywhere outside the wall. And he sees Weston and Divine want to go up on the wall, and they get up the wall, and Ransom's going up on the wall as well. And they all get up on the wall, and then Ransom is too afraid. That's kind of what I was gathering. So he just wouldn't want to go, but he has one leg over the side of the wall, and that's pitch black darkness.
That's right.
And on the other side is light. Mm-hmm. And Weston and Divine jump out, like, they jump over the wall, and he can't see them anymore. And for a second, he's like, what is going on? But he also sensed and knew that there was something down below, but didn't know what they were until all of a sudden this magical door appears. Weston and Divine come through the door, and also he starts seeing these basically owls, as mm-hmm. he describes them in his dream. And he goes out, and he's like, you know, who are you? Because he looks back over the wall, and because he knows these owls went back out into the darkness. And when he says, who are you? The animals or creatures or whatever are shouting back, hoo, 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 like an owl, which is really trippy.
Yeah. So I think you nailed it. It's really trippy. When I read this, and thanks for going back there, I remember that part. Now, yeah. Even just the idea that, like, I think he says, my leg will drop off if it gets much darker. Like, as he gets into the darkness, it's the sensations that he's feeling on one side versus the other side are so radically different. But no, that then these owls come out. It's just weird, man. It's just like, mm-hmm. he's been given something strong, and he's going for a ride, you know? It's crazy.
So, you know, and at first I'm like, okay, this is obviously a dream. This is him hallucinating, going crazy. But the more I kept thinking about it, I was like, I wonder if this is a prognostication of something that's going to happen in the future. Some kind. Like, I know it's a dream because, as you were saying, and as the chapter goes on, he's starting to come out, because obviously he mm-hmm. took a drink of something and it's affecting him, but it wasn't a strong enough. Like, it was just to kind of numb him and just to kind of stun him for a brief moment. But he's slowly coming out of this, and he's hearing Divine and Weston argue, basically. And they're arguing about, okay, now's the time, we got to get him into this thing. We've got to move him now while he's still unconscious, while he can't move. And the thing is, though, Ransom realizes he's pretty sure he can move, but he also knows that he's been drugged. And so he's like, okay, I need to be careful if I move or not right now.
How about before that, just when he's listening to the argument that they're having, it's like Divine's trying to convince him that Ransom
right.
needs to be their victim, right?
Yeah. Weston's arguing that he wants the boy to continue to have
the boy that
him.
that they right. had grabbed in the first chapter. And the throwaway culture here, Jason, like, just the, like, this is evil. The idea that this boy who, you get the idea, has some kind of challenges, right? Some learning challenges, and they describe him as simple, right? That he's incapable of serving humanity, right? That he's a sort of, what does it say, the sort of boy who in a civilized community would be automatically handed over to a state laboratory for experimental purposes. Now, this is like he's nothing. He's trash. Like, this is the kind of guy that we can use for something like this. This person you have at least has some kind of value in ransom, and we shouldn't, you know, I think his resistance is that he sees ransom as someone who has potential value or something to offer, and this boy is someone that has nothing to offer, and that's why it doesn't matter whether we grab him or not. So just like, oh man, culture of death much, you know, like, mm-hmm. just the throwaway culture, the valuing people based on what they can provide to you, based on, as opposed to just the fact that they are people. Right. But you know, this is where Divine's, interrogation comes out, and he says, yeah, but that boy is the kind of guy that Scotland Yard might take an interest in. This guy over here, this busybody, no one cares a flip about, you know, like,
right.
We can totally take him, and there's no issues because no one's going to say anything about him, you know? And that's ultimately what convinces Weston.
And maybe I've misread this. When I was reading it, I was also feeling as if they were also arguing of, look, we are trying to do something amazing here. And if we use someone that's more simple-minded, people aren't going to believe him. But if we can use Ransom, who's educated, who's a doctor, if we can reason with him, then he'll go a long way. And I think that's why, you know, Weston replies later on, where he's like, you know, I dare say, replied Weston, he would consent if he could be made to understand. But again, it's still all, there's still a mystery of what this all entails.
Well, in that line, he's talking about Ransom at that point, right, is what I understood.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because right before that, he says, it's just this crazy. Weston's saying, I don't like it, because Ransom, after all, is human. The boy was really almost a preparation. And so just like the dichotomy there, the way that Weston is framing the two, it just was like, clearly he sees Ransom as someone that has value. But okay, sure. I can go with Ransom.
Right. But I also understand what you're saying. You're exactly right. Like, as you were saying, look, this kid's not even a human. This was just a preparation. He was just a test subject. He was a rat. And we could use
right. Exactly. He was a rat. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the best. Mm-hmm. But Weston is like, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. We can do it. And he's almost convincing himself when he says that, I think the whole, okay, he would consent. If he could be made to understand, he would consent. So yeah, let's go with Ransom, mm-hmm. take his feet. And then that's when Divine says, yeah, take him, take his feet. And they start going towards him.
And this was an interesting thing here that I was like, made me scratch my head, was when he was talking about how, okay, well, if you think he's coming around, we better dose him again because we can't get going until sunlight, and we can't have him be stuck in there for 3 hours struggling. And I'm like, A, why do you have to wait until the sunlight? And B, you know, just why do you have to wait 3 hours before you can get something?
Maybe that's
going
when the Stargate opens, man.
Maybe, you know, at first light.
Maybe that's when the stars align and their portal opens up, you know?
So Divine goes to leave the room to get more of whatever he was dosing Ransom with. Ransom is like, this is my opportunity. This is my one shot. Better not miss my chance to blow. I think Eminem wrote a song about that, something like that. Anyways, Gabe is shaking his head at me.
Or it's, I think I something in Hamilton, something along those lines also.
That too. So he lunges out and is able to begin his escape, but is not familiar with the house because this is the first time he walked in. He's running for the door. He's fumbling because he's still drugged. He's still groggy. He still doesn't have full autonomy to his limbs and to his fingers.
I imagine him like bouncing off the walls, like running into things, mm-hmm. and you know, like I mean, just struggling to even stand, you know, but using every ounce of energy he has just to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
And so he's trying to, as he said, you know, desperately trying to do this, the deadbolt and trying to unlock the door. And it's just the intensity that C.S. Lewis builds right here is just really so good. And you're just on pins and needles right now. You're like, oh, is he going to make it? And you know he's not, because he's like, and for that brief moment, he felt the cool air as he opened the door and he could hear the steps running. Like, you know, it's that it reminded me also of like those horror films when someone's running to the car and they're like fumbling the fingers of their keys, trying to get the key through into the door to unlock. And they're freaking out. And it's just like, oh, gosh, just get out. And then, boom, they grab him. They knock him unconscious. They blow him to the back of the head and he blacks out. And the last thing he hears is the door slamming behind him as he's getting pulled back into the house. Boom.
End of chapter two.
Whew. Whew, man. So that was good. It was a good chapter. It was a short chapter, but a really good one.
Well, you got some things happening. I mean, that whole first chapter, I mean, it's like setting the scene. He's walking. You're like, what is going on here? You know, but, you know, you've got some action going on here now. Finally, there's some movement, you know. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen next? Well, first, let's revisit your wild predictions for chapter two.
So, OK, I'll say this here. Here's what I got right. The one thing I got right was I predicted that they were going to get going quickly. That C.S. Lewis was not going to fiddly fart around and continue to build him. Like, he's still building things. There's still plenty of mystery, still uncertain things that we don't know.
They technically haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
You know?
But I knew something was going to break, and boy, did it. I predicted that something was going to happen. Like, it wasn't going to be good for Ransom. That he shouldn't have gone in there and that this was not going to end well. I still don't know. My other predictions where I think I'm probably wrong and because I just don't know is still with this boy, where he's at and what's happened to him since that point and all that good stuff. I don't know what this thing still is. It could be a Stargate portal kind of thing. It could be a spaceship. You know, that's another idea that I had as I was reading this, especially if he's locked in there for 3 hours. It sounds like maybe tight quarters, so it could be some type of ship or just a box. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't have enough from that chapter to predict anything. I think regardless, they're gonna like, and I going back to my point, I think Weston and Divine are gonna have to talk with Ransom about what this all entails. I don't predict them to like hog tie him down, throw him in this ship or whatever, and just kick him into it. I think there's gonna be some exposition going on. To help ease Ransom into, even if he's forced into it, he will be semi like, all right, I'll go ahead, if that makes sense.
Well, I think this is the argument that Weston was making, was that with the boy, we can basically do, he's a rat. We can do whatever we want with him. We don't have to put up with him or deal with him or even acknowledge him or treat him like a human. But this guy Ransom, like, we're going to have to deal with him, you know. Mm-hmm. One, he can contribute to society, but two, also, we can't treat him the same way. He's going to inevitably ask questions, and I think that's that line that you mentioned, the whole if he could be made to understand, you know. So that kind of I think points to where Weston is at, and the idea of okay, I've got to somehow win this guy over and just convince him and make him think. That, you know, buy into this grand idea that whatever they're doing is worth it. You could see why we drugged you and captured you and, you know, good for you, you know, which I got to tell you is going to take a heck of a sale job.
Yeah.
Based on everything that's happened so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, regardless, Ransom's gonna be pissed, but I could easily see Divine being like, hey, buddy, you know, I'm sorry I had to drug you and, you know, do all that stuff to you and knock you out, but here's why, just calm down, wait, before you kill us, hear me out, kind of thing. I could see Divine doing that role, but I can see Weston being the trying to be the logical one here and really trying. He will be the one, I predict, he will be the one that will sell it to Ransom, and that Ransom will go along with it based on what Weston will eventually tell him what they are doing.
So you think Ransom's gonna buy in, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I that's what I predict. I think he's gonna come out of it.
Would you buy in?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends on where I'm at in the state of waking up, right?
I mean, let's go with what we know so far.
Right. So like, but again, I don't know that much.
You're walking through the countryside.
Right. Because I mean, if
you're
I'm
walking
waking
through the countryside.
Right. But like, okay, so if I'm waking up, I'm assuming, again, I don't know, but I'm assuming like when he wakes up, he's going to be tied down. Okay. So let's imagine, okay, I wake up, I get knocked out. I've been drugged. I've tried to get out. I've tried to escape. They drag me back in, and now I'm tied to this chair, and there's no way to escape.
You're clearly a prisoner.
Right. Right. And so I mean, my first reaction is going to be, all right, well, I'll just agree with whatever they want me to say just so I can get along and stay alive and hopefully find a way to escape and try, like, okay, so you think that.
So you're saying buy in for survival purposes?
Sure. Yes.
Not buy in like, oh, okay, yeah, we're friends now.
Exactly.
Whatever,
like,
you say.
That would be I think that would be my first plan, or my first initial thoughts is just how can I just get them believing that I'm okay with everything, while I'm honestly just trying to calculate how in the world am I going to get out of the situation.
And it says the situation, yeah.
But I think over time, depending on what they say, depending on what they're doing, and depending on who Ransom is, he may be like, wait, time out. What are you guys doing? What did you build? What's going on? Huh. Okay. Interesting. Well, maybe.
Why do you need me?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Why do you need me for whatever you're doing? Why am I, you know, first you were grabbing the boy. Clearly you were grabbing him against his will. And now you grab me against my will. What is it that you're doing that requires a third person?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. See, this is why you're smarter than me, Gabe, because you think of these questions so much better than me. Because that's exactly, you're right, because that's exactly what I would think too. Like, wait, why do you want me so much? Now, after divulging all that information, I'd be like, oh, well, they want me so they can just kill me, basically. Because nobody's looking for me.
Yeah, yeah. First they grab this boy who they think doesn't matter. And now they grab me because they know there's no one looking for me.
Right.
So they're looking for somebody disposable. Right? And wait a second. What do you do with things that are disposable?
Mm-hmm.
You usually dispose of them.
Yeah. I'll be curious.
So maybe I would buy in for survival's sake, right? Maybe I would buy in to assess the plan, see what's going on, try and take stock, plot an escape if that's even at all possible. But I would have a really hard time fully buying in. I mean, I think the circle of trust has been violated.
What would they have to offer you to make you even consider?
$1 million.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, because even if it's some great good, the way that was brought about, I mean, the fact that I was drugged and then hit in the back of the head and dragged in and
I just thought about
tied
this.
Down. Or,
what about this? What if, okay, maybe change. I'm going to alter my prediction. This is what I think is going to happen, actually, because this makes more sense. Okay. I think what's going to happen is he's still going to go along with it, but he's going to be forced to still do it. Like, basically, they're going to give him an ultimatum. Either you go and do this, where
or die.
Exactly. Like, okay, if you go and do this, yes, you there's a chance that you may die, but if you don't do it, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. So, okay.
I got no choice. I've got to keep going along.
Right.
And I think this is what you said. Like, I think, yeah, survival starts taking over and you do what you have to do. You get along, but at the same time, I don't think you ever stop looking for an out.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to talk about with this chapter. I think we've
it's crazy.
It's intense. I enjoyed it. I can't wait
to see what happens when he comes to,
I can't wait to read chapter 3. And I can't wait to talk about it with y'all. So at the time of this recording, we are now legit. We've got our podcast on just about every major podcast player out there that y'all use. So there's no excuse now for anyone that you know to share this with your friends, your family members. Please join us. The best place you can reach us is our website. I know it's long. Actually, best place for right now, just go to any podcast player, subscribe, start downloading the episodes.
Yeah, go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play or what was the one that you said?
Overcast. That's my podcast of choice.
Overcast.
50% Overcast.
And just do a search. Look for Reading Your Way to Heaven, and you will see Jason holding some books.
Because someone has been tardy and has not turned in their bio.
That's neither here nor there.
Oh, okay. I'm not saying who, but there's only two of us here, and one of us has their information on the website and
one of podcast. Us has their name all over the podcast and on the website, and the other one doesn't.
Hey, your name is in the description, okay?
So you be the judge, America.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
Go check us out, guys. Go check us out and share. We are shareable now. We are for sure shareable. So please, yeah, check us out. Listen to us. Share it. Please leave a review if you can. Say what you liked about the chapter. You know, what stood out to you? That would love to see your comments there.
That's it for us. Thanks for listening. Gabe, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.